You're listening to Tech Talk Radio in your backyard and worldwide on the pod.
Every once in a while, a revolutionary product comes along that changes everything.
It's the first time that Apple have actually decided to tell people about something that they're developing.
High-speed broadband, let's just make sure that we can get it in Australia this year, not next.
The three main spamming countries are the United States, China and South Korea.
And I've got some residual powers.
Sounds like something out of Harry Potter.
Senator Clinton, the voice of reason.
There's a couple of systems on a gantry that's actually based on a military missile tracking system.
You put the date on ePray and you get a whole service just on it.
How does it go?
IE7, you were having trouble installing it because you had a genuine copy of Windows that wouldn't validate properly. What did you have to do to get past that?
Built a new machine.
But how hard can it be?
Well, it's not hard at all.
At the end of the day, the photography is all about the person's eye and what they see.
If you find something that's inappropriate about your child, you need to do something about it because it will not go away.
On air, on the internet, and on the pod, you're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the 150th Tech Talk Radio. I'm Andrew McComb. Today we pass the milestone of 150 shows. Since November 29, 2004, hopefully we've managed to enlighten and educate listeners in the wonderful world of gadgets, internet and telecommunications. Thrown into this mix are guests who are experts in their respective fields, including law enforcement, tollways, mobile communications, broadcasting and software development. Tech Talk Radio continues to grow and earn the respect of listeners and industry elders as an independent tech talk show. There have been many highlights along the way, and we've had the privilege of speaking to many movers and shakers within our industry. Today, the network of radio stations that take Tech Talk Radio continues to grow, both here in Australia and overseas. The number of global listeners, thanks to the technology of podcasting and streaming, is also on the rise. One of the best things about making the show is hearing from like-minded listeners. Tech Talk Radio is nothing without you, our regular listeners and contributors, and we welcome everyone's opinions and perspectives on technology and the providers of technology. Everyone involved in the show is passionate about technology and contribute their services because they want to. So upwards and onwards as we head to the next milestone. With politics becoming a main force in the evolution of technology in this country and the ostracising of Telstra, our largest technology company, who seem to have managed to alienate most of their customers, there will no doubt be plenty of water to pass under the Tech Talk Radio bridge in the coming weeks.
This week on Tech Talk Radio.
Large flat-screen televisions labelled environmentally unfriendly. The world's most famous document reader open to hacks. Apple accused of unlawful monopoly. Koonin makes another U-turn. And website hackers are on the rise. All that and more on Australia's premier tech talk show, Tech Talk Radio. But first, let's find out what's been making news in the tech world this week with Dr. Ron.
This is Tech Talk News.
This week on Tech Talk News, Telstra confirms problem with NextG data cards, Apple's new iPhone upgrade is unlocked by hackers, Boeing's new A380 visits Melbourne for the first time, Google Earth uncovers Chinese submarines, and zombie hunting is serious business for Australian ISPs. Welcome to Tech Talk News. Telstra last week confirmed that there was a problem for some wireless internet customers using option-manufactured data cards on the new NextG network. The problem is caused by a firmware upgrade affecting Qualcomm 3G cards, with potentially thousands of people experiencing difficulties with these GX0202 model modems. A Telstra spokesman told The Australian last week that several factors could contribute to the issue, such as not following the correct sequence for upgrade instructions, or if battery power supply is interrupted during the upgrade. The firmware update can cause incorrect metering of internet access, slow access speeds, and, in worst-case scenarios, card failure. While Apple released its controversial 1.1.1 patch for the iPhone only a few weeks ago, a patch has been released which means Australians can once again use their imported iPhones. The team that released the first software crack for Apple's iPhone has been able to circumvent the carrier restrictions, which means the device is now essentially unlocked for use on any GSM phone network. iPhone SIM Free announced on their website last week that they were able to retrieve the necessary information to create the world-first 1.1.1 unlock solution. The commercial software is sold through a worldwide network of resellers for about $80 to $130. But those who had purchased the unlocking software previously did not have to pay for the upgrade. Melbourne plane spotters were out in force last week at Tullamarine Airport when the new A380 Airbus landed as part of a series of test flights from Toulouse and Dubai. The so-called Super Jumbo represents a milestone in aviation technology, with the ability to carry up to 800 passengers, compared with Boeing's 747, which carries just 360. Melbourne Airport has spent more than $200 million on upgrades to be able to accommodate the plane and even reopened the public observation deck especially for the occasion. Test pilot Peter Chandler spoke on Melbourne radio last week saying the A380 felt slightly different to other aircraft but was flying very nicely.
The benefit of having a high capacity airplane like this is that if for the airlines that have routes where there's a lot of demand, you can replace two airplanes on that route with just one. So in terms of economy and runway slots at very busy airports, then it improves the efficiency no end. And also, even with 500 plus seats in this airplane, there's a lot more space per seat than in most other aircraft. So for the passengers, there's a much more feeling of space in the aircraft.
Singapore Airlines is set to become the first carrier to fly the A380 commercially, with inaugural flights scheduled for the 25th of October. Updated satellite imagery on Google Earth has revealed new evidence of China's nuclear submarine capability. The Age last week reported the discovery of what appears to be a second and possibly third Jin-class nuclear-powered submarine at a naval shipyard in northeastern China. The two submarines appeared on Google Earth after the most recent imagery update. The photo of the shipyard, which is about 400 kilometres east of Beijing, was taken by a commercial satellite on the 3rd of May this year. Before this update, images of the shipyard showed an empty dock surrounded by ice floe. According to published US intelligence reports, China is believed to be building five of these new submarines that have a capacity to launch ballistic nuclear missiles with a range of more than 8,000 kilometres. And while zombie hunting might conjure up images of Buffy the Vampire Slayer for some, Australian ISPs are coordinating their efforts to tackle a serious criminal problem. Vast robot networks, or botnets, consist of infected personal computers and can be remotely controlled to participate in harmful denial-of-service attacks, bulk spamming, or even keylogging. The International Telecommunication Union has adopted an Australian Internet Security Initiative as a practical way to defeat botnets through the routine identification and shutdown of rogue machines in conjunction with cooperative internet service providers. The voluntary program, run in conjunction with the Australian Communications and Media Authority, has grown from an original 5 ISPs to 25. ACMA anti-spam team manager Bruce Matthews says the initiative is set for a big boost this year. An additional $5 million in funding is to be spent on upgrading software and integrating the Spam Matters spam reporting database. And that's your tech update for this week.
Previously on Tech Talk Radio.
The Dr. Ron hard drive collection has started.
There's a level of ignorance out there which isn't acceptable.
Mm. Come on, who are they going to put in their place? Who's going to want the job to start with?
What about the three of us? We could give up our day jobs.
Yes, absolutely.
We could be the three amigos.
We could.
Okay, vote now. Three amigos.
I used to use Yahoo on a text-based Unix interface back in 1992.
So is the coverage any better? That's the million-dollar question.
Everyone wants to concentrate. For God's sake, stop concentrating on just handsets.
He has never seen the structural separation of Telstra as on the federal government's agenda.
There's a lot of third-party applications that have been released for the first version of the operating system without Apple endorsement or support, and they no longer work either.
And why would you sign up if you didn't have to on a two-year contract?
What did you use before NextG for data?
Just iBurst.
Yes.
There's this whole sponsored link versus organic links debate.
It is. Now imagine that. Imagine getting service from a telco. Oh, dear. Well, the mind boggles, doesn't it?
You're listening to Australia's most informative technology show, Tech Talk Radio. The panel on Tech Talk Radio.
Dr. Ron, thanks for inviting us up to the apartment this evening. It's absolutely lovely being here. I didn't know you had a great apartment here in Docklands. Oh, let me push this button.
You're very welcome. Thanks all for coming. It's terrific to have everybody here.
And it's really, really nice that you have a little quartet in the corner too. I think that's sensational.
Do you like the swank pad?
Yeah, it's good, good. Yeah. Can you pass the shard, please?
I can.
Just another one of those.
Yes, that'd be good.
So this is it, 150 shows for Tech Talk Radio.
Yes, celebrating from the Saltwater Tower in the Docklands.
Yeah.
You can see Sol, his apartment's just over...
There.
I think Phil's popping in for a visit. Can you see him? Is that the... Yeah?
Wave. He doesn't like me. He knows it's me and he doesn't wave back.
Oh, is it? Oh, really?
Mm.
Oh, okay. Mm. We've got a few more guests coming in here for a bit of a booze up tonight to celebrate our 150th. I see you're on the hard stuff there, Dr. Ron.
Yes, I am. Nothing but the finest H2O.
Well, we're expecting all of our fine guests and panellists in this evening. And I even believe we have an unlocked iPhone coming into the studio tonight to have a bit of a play.
We have. First time, yeah.
Which would be sensational. It's a lovely quartet you've got going now. I think it's fantastic.
Thank you. I didn't write this myself. This
didn't you?
No.
Because it's one of your strings in your bow, isn't it?
Well, they've usually got the night off on Mondays.
Yeah.
So they were a bit put out when I said to them this morning, no, I'm going to be home. You haven't got the place to yourself tonight.
Okay. It's a lovely view, too. You can see all the way over to the Westgate and beyond.
Not bad, is it?
No, it's good. Mm. Just walking in the door at the moment is Mark Diggins. G'day, Mark.
Hey,
g'day.
Mark. How you doing?
Come on in.
Thanks for coming into our 150th this evening.
I didn't know there'd be so many guests here.
No, it's good, isn't it? There's a collection down there in the corner and there's a few other people.
Knives and forks going, hammer and tong.
Yeah. Grab yourself a drink, grab some horses, duvers.
Duvers.
Yeah, there's hors d'oeuvres going around. Make yourself at home.
Adam's here too. Hello, Adam.
Adam. Hi, how you going? Yeah, pass me a beer, would you?
Yep. Oh, that's the red stuff here. There's a bottle of Moe on the
very
table.
Very uncultured of me. I forgot we're in the Docklands. Could be more cultured than that.
Exactly. And even Graham. G'day, Graham. How are you?
G'day, Andrew. G'day, Ron.
Graham,
thanks for coming up.
So Tech Talk Radio turns 150 shows. It's absolutely lovely. Wherever you might be listening to
shows.
Us. Yeah. When did we start? November 2004.
Yeah, back in 2004 it was.
Gee whiz, a lot of water's flown under the bridge since then, hasn't it?
Mm.
Any highlights? Anyone got any great highlights of the show? Anything that's... Mine have to be Eugene Kaspersky. I do think that having a chat to him, beginning of this year, I think it was, about Kaspersky antivirus, I reckon he'd be great to have a drink at the pub with good old Eugene. Anyone else got any good?
I did invite Eugene.
Did you?
Yeah. I don't know if I got a reply on it, though, because we're blocking all the .ru emails. He might be on the way. We might have started without him. He might be just on the way up.
Oh, yeah.
Hmm. I like Brian Eckley coming in talking about AA batteries and dispelling some of the myths.
Yeah, that was good. Mm-hmm.
That was really good. Yeah. Yeah.
That was quite good. Yeah, it tells you all about which ones last the longest and why they work in a freezer or not.
Yeah, batteries are pretty important in this day and age, especially leading up to Christmas, because all the mums and dads will be buying batteries for their kids' toys and things like that, because batteries aren't included, as we know. And Brian was, that was a great...
Or if they are, they're terrible ones.
Yeah.
What, do you mean you buy the ones from the local hardware shop in the pack of 400 and they last all of 3 minutes?
No, if your toy comes with batteries, they don't last more than the first day.
Oh.
as long as they last longer than the toy.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, dear.
I think the highlight for me was Susan McLean from Victoria Police talking about child safety online.
Yes, that was good. Speaking of that, have you sent an email?
I have.
Oh, good.
Yep.
Hopefully, have you got a response?
If
you know what we're talking about, listeners, you'll be hopefully back on the show one day
We'll be having her back on the show.
Very good. Susan McLean was really good. From Victoria Police, based out of the Doncaster Eastern Suburbs.
She's a youth resource officer.
Yep. Mm. No, that was a very informative night.
I think we
got some good feedback from that. Anyone else?
I think for me the highlight are the airline stories, the airline industry stories we hear.
Oh, Mark Mayer
from
when Mark comes
Mayer,
in.
Yes.
Yes, Mark's a regular on the show.
I always enjoy it when Mark's in.
Ex-Qantas pilot?
Yeah.
How's the A380 this week doing touch and goes in Melbourne?
That was up in the news.
Did you see it? Yes, it was.
Have one of these dim sims. They're great.
Oh, fantastic. Where's your cap?
Just watch the shag pile. Don't drop soya sauce everywhere like you did last time.
Dear.
Yeah, we had
The A380. Did you see that on the news? It dwarfed about... They had a couple of 747s next to it and it just dwarfed them into insignificance. Half a sitting building landing at Melbourne Airport.
It's not that long before it'll be here on a regular basis, actually running commercial flights.
Well, Singapore.
Who's buying one? Singapore.
Singapore.
Airlines, yeah.
Qantas have got half a
Qantas
dozen.
Qantas have got a few on order, but there's back in the channels a bit, I believe. Is that right?
Oh, on back order, is it?
Working their way through the system.
How long is it going to take to get on and off these things? You know what the queue's like when you normally try to get off a plane?
Well, I read doing the news research that Melbourne Airport, speaking on behalf of Melbourne Airport, they've actually modified the gate lounge, so they've got split level, so you can actually...
So you're bored on two different levels.
Bored on two different levels, Graham. Yeah.
Oh, that'll speed it up.
Okay.
Which is new for Melbourne, anyway.
Yeah.
Does it have Titanic written on the side by any chance?
The gate lounge or the aircraft?
It just has that feel to it.
Not all that many icebergs at 30,000 feet.
No, but it just has that feel to it. If someone calls it unsinkable, I'm not getting on it. I like the bush bashing story where you went out with a GPS down to Warrnambool, I think it was.
Oh, yeah.
That was a great story.
Where's the band gone?
Sorry. They'll be back shortly. They're having
put some more money in the media, I think.
I told you they had their nose out of joint to work on a Monday night. Yeah.
Soul booked them.
That's it. Now, Mark and Andrew went down to Warrnambool for that one, Adam. Mm. Yeah, that was a great one.
Did we?
You did the GPS article and the radio direction.
Oh, Mount Gambier.
Oh, Mount
Gambier. Further than Warrnambool.
Warrnambool. Sorry, yeah. Mount Gambier.
Sorry, yeah. Keep going. Yeah, no, that was a bit of fun, wasn't it, Mark? That was, we sort of plead guilty to going to that on a regular basis every other year.
Yeah, we go over there. We don't do much good, but we have a lot of fun.
Oh, and that's what it's all about, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Just getting out there and having a play with technology in the field and things like that. So
we've got some photos on our webpage too.
Yes, we do.
Of some of the strange-looking antennas on top of cars.
We do, yes. There's even a whole page there, I think, dedicated to that event.
techtalkradio.com.au.
Very good. Our phone number, if you'd like to ring and leave us a number, a message, 1300 664 882, feedback@techtalkradio.com.au. We are connected this evening. Feel free to shoot us an email and all that sort of stuff. That'd be really good. Well, guys, guess what happened yesterday? We're in the downhill run to an election now. This is it.
It's official.
Is there going to be an election?
Yeah, apparently.
Oh, okay.
Apparently. So this is going to be do or die, isn't it? What policy is going to come out for technology? Are we going to win? Are we going to lose? Are we going to be where we are? Who's got an opinion?
What are we going to split up Telstra?
No, that won't happen.
It won't happen.
That'll never happen.
Political suicide, you're a belief?
It should have happened 10 years ago,
but
they can't
do it.
They can't do it once they've sold it.
No, yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
They talk a lot of talk, but they can't do it.
Well, she said Coonan she was going to do it.
Yeah, she's full of it. Then she had to come out and say, oh, actually, we can't do that.
But she doesn't sit on the fence anymore. She makes a decision, then does a U-turn the day after.
She breaks it.
It's funny you should mention that. Yes, Communications Minister Helen Coonan has been forced into her second about face in 2 weeks on government plans in the telecommunications sector, where basically her published comments that the federal government would consider tipping taxpayers' funds into an advanced fibre optic network to Australian homes.
Sounds familiar.
Turned all that around again as well. Yep. And we got an election. I don't know. What do we do? Do we just all put a sign on the door saying back in 6 weeks?
Yep.
Yeah, that's the way to do it.
I think that's all we can do at this point in time, isn't it?
Elections must cost the economy millions, hundreds of millions of dollars in lost productivity because nobody does anything for 6 weeks. And really 6 months, though, because you never know when he's going to call it. We really need fixed terms.
Everyone postpones making important decisions what's going to happen.
If we had fixed terms, then business would continue to function and they'd know, all right, this window out, we might not make so many decisions, but there have been companies out there for the last 6 months. Like, he might call it tomorrow. We don't know. So,
and people are just treading water, waiting for the announcement.
But the damage it does, the impact it has on the economy, I reckon, is not good.
Do you think New Zealand's sitting back and watching Australia's mistakes? Learn
laughing
from them?
And laughing. Because they're splitting TV, the telecom equivalent in New Zealand. So, yeah, but anyway, we'll see what happens. The other thing, too, which I find most amusing this time of year, the vandals are out at the moment on websites, especially political ones.
Oh.
Liberal and Labor websites have both been easily defaced in recent times, too, which I thought was quite a bit of a laugh. Flaws on their websites were highlighted by someone called Borsic, if that's how you pronounce it, B-S-O-R-I-C, from the Slackers Forum. Apparently, they get out there and they get into web forums and create absolute havoc, especially this time of year. But one of the other interesting things too, which we mentioned, is Google have an election tab. Have you seen that?
They do. Google have gone very heavily into the election this time around, haven't they? They've got a massive amount of content up there.
They do. And if you go there, you can sort of plot everything on the right-hand side of, well, how you've got your iGoogle set up. You can actually have the amount of search traffic for one political party versus another political party versus environmental situations such as the economy, such as global warming, all that sort of stuff. So it's quite interesting. And all the YouTube channels on the left-hand side, you can click on a party and scroll down and see what's going on. I reckon that'll come to get quite a bit of traffic in the next couple of weeks.
It's becoming like a football match where you get stats on how many YouTube videos they've got up and how many announcements they've had in the paper.
That's exactly what it's becoming like.
Yes.
Oh, God.
The ABC has a similar thing planned for mobile phones, but they're not quite ready to take the wraps off it yet.
Well,
watch out for that.
They're going to have to move very quickly now.
The ABC usually do these things fairly well, though, so it will be an interesting one to watch.
Hmm.
I saw something coming today about the ABC and stuff like that, but I haven't got it here. So
that's going to be like a mobile device-friendly version, is it?
I believe so.
Mm. Mm.
So if you just can't wait for that latest political update while you're out and about.
Yeah.
Or if you hear something as a whisper while you're at work or something, you think, we better check that quickly.
So, Dr. Ron, in your apartment, who's been coming to visit Seoul? Has it been Coonan, or has it been...
I'd be talking out of school there.
Oh, can't you tell?
No, it's part of the
list. I want to know which side they want to... Because,
Didn't John Howard drop past to get permission to call an election?
I'm sure he did.
I don't know, did you see
him,
Dr.
Soul that he had to see?
Peter Costello knocked on the door to ask for directions to Saul's apartment. He was a bit lost. He was in the wrong tower.
There'd be laws against using that telescope in the corner there, wouldn't there, Dr. Ron?
Well, it depends what you use it for, Mark.
Oh, so it's all right to look as long as you don't tell us what you saw.
I think so. That's the old telecommunications legislation,
yeah, that's
isn't
the
it?
One.
Yeah, you could listen but not act on what you heard.
Exactly.
Yeah. So this is the telescope legislation.
Okay. Yes. So have you got a plasma? I can't see a plasma around here. You got a big plasma TV set?
It comes down out of the roof.
Because they've been banned. Did you know that?
At the moment.
They have not, Andrew. Settle down.
Let me exhibit A here from the ABC newsroom. It says, plasma TVs may be banned. Oh, my goodness. And because Crikey. They're environmentally friendly. Now, this is a fairly interesting topic, and I'm sure Adam's got a few things to say about this. But, yes, allegedly, or this is probably fact as opposed to being alleged, that your average plasma draws four times as much power as any other appliance in your house along lines of your fridge and things like that. Did you hear about this?
Wander up to it and put your hand on top of it and feel how warm it's getting.
Just put your hand within about a foot of it and feel the heat radiating off it. I don't care. They will pry my plasma out of my cold, dead hands. Not that I own one yet, but I've got dreams to own one, and no one's going to dash those dreams. I don't care if I have to smuggle it into the country in the world's biggest Mr. Potato Head. I will have a plasma television one day.
But maybe...
Because they're better than LCD. I don't care what anyone says.
Well,
plasma looks so much better.
Maybe by the time you get it, though, that there'll be a different technology. Not plasma, not LCD, something different that's even better.
Something like the SED technology or
something
one of those
like
sorts
that.
Of things.
But if I had the money, I wouldn't settle for LCD if I could get plasma.
There are new technologies in the pipeline
that
don't use the wasteful technique. Both LCDs and plasmas have a backlight that's on all the time, and they work by blocking some of that backlight.
LCD works that way.
LCD works that way as well. The old CRT screens work by shining a beam which lights up the screen and only emits light where you actually light it up. And the new technology flat screens are going to work that way as well.
How many people who want the mother of all televisions really care about the environment?
Oh, none.
I recycle. I'm careful with water. My one voice is I want the mother of all televisions.
I believe.
And if plasma is the best technology, I'll take plasma. And if that means I'm a planet killer, but well, I'm sorry. But
here's another consideration.
I believe I'm saving electricity by having a plasma. I have a plasma TV. It puts out heat. Put your hand above it. Yep, you can feel it. I don't need to use the heater in winter.
Leave the ducting
heating
but off.
That's the other thing. That's gonna come back to haunt you because it was 30 degrees today in Melbourne.
You can't let the carbon out of the ground is the conclusion because it just turns into this gas and warms us all up. But
my LCD throws out a lot of heat, especially you put your hand in front of it or above it, you can really feel the heat belting out. How does the LCD technology compare with plasma in terms of the energy?
Well, plasma is a gas, it glows, and LCD is reflective.
Is LCD going to be using, on average, half the power that a plasma device is?
They're both fairly wasteful, the way I understand
LCD
it.
LCD is supposed to use less power. I'm not sure how much less.
Right. But it also has to have a big backlight, doesn't it, to shine through? So you're going to need to have
nice
a lot
shiny
of light
plate
to,
and it
to get
reflects.
That. Yeah.
So who's saying this, Andrew? Is this Australian an announcement that's been made here?
Or? Pretty much. The federal government's looking at adopting some form of sort of process for helping consumers buy these new whiz-bang televisions. They're touting a star energy rating system like you get on your fridge and your cooker and all that sort of stuff to give consumers a bit of a understanding about just how bad these things are, I guess. The Australian Greenhouse Office commissioned a report in response to the growing rate of power consumption by these large little monsters. And televisions are now the fourth largest energy consumer in the home and may soon use more power than fridges and screens as the screens get bigger and the sound systems get more elaborate. Because I was watching a breakfast television program this morning and there was a manufacturer came out with this huge blow-up screen you can put in your backyard and a video projector for $6,000. And I'm thinking, is this going to be ridiculous? Everyone's going to sit in their backyard and have their own drive-in theater very shortly. So I just have to chuckle. Where's the line in the sand? But I guess if you've got the money, why not?
Tying this back to the election, the day after that announcement was made, the environment minister came out and said, oh, no, 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 we won't ban plasmas. We won't ban plasmas because voters will put up with a lot. They'll put up with xenophobic policies. They'll put up with lies about children overboard. But if you touch their televisions, will they vote you out? And that's why he jumped in straight away and said, no, you can keep your big ass TV.
That would be a decision that has a real personal effect on people, isn't it? And that's where it's going to hurt.
It affects pretty much everyone, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You know?
I thought Senator Coonan might have.
Everybody either has one or they want one.
Yeah, exactly. Or they want one.
I thought Senator Coonan might have got in on the act on this one because she's trying to roll out digital television. You take a plasma away, who wants digital television then? You know, just, yeah.
I like your thinking.
Closing the cave after the horse has bolted type sort of thing, really, isn't it? But anyway, let's not get political at this point in time. Yes.
Come on, I'm just warming up.
What, after 150 episodes, let's not get political.
Is that a new rule?
Dearie me. Yeah, well, there is an election in the air. This is what some of the shoppers are saying about these little things at the moment, too, if I can push the right button.
I think they're a bit overpriced for what you get and how long they last. They don't seem to last, I don't think. Like, I've had people who've said that they get lines through them and stuff like that, and I'm pretty happy with my crappy old TV at the moment.
The shelf life is just too short. And they consume too much power. Just like to keep my bill pretty low. I just from reading about plasmas, I prefer probably LCDs.
So there you go. You want your plasma these?
With that. You know, shelf life's too short. I thought they did about 20,000 hours or something.
Yeah, the plasmas are a lot better now.
They've got a lot better than they used to be.
Maybe old information for that.
But LCDs, still, the motion blur is still worse than plasma. The blacks aren't as black. The contrast isn't as good. Shop with your eyes. If you put the best plasma next to the best LCD, the best plasma wins.
Yes.
I'm in agreement. I know you disagree.
No, I do agree with that.
Okay, I know, you still stick to CRT, and I can't see why you're still there, actually. But I'll
come and have a look at my CRT.
If
you've got the right CRT, I would stick with CRT before I go to plasma or LCD.
I'm not going to give a plug to anyone, but yes.
Show me a 50-inch CRT that can actually look the same as a plasma.
And won't fall through the floor.
Yeah. So is size everything, Mark?
No, yes, it is.
Just look at my apartment here. Of course it is.
Oh, of course, yes.
Maybe we should put some facts behind this too. They all talk about power, but no one actually does a comparison. Maybe we should... They talk about four times the usage of a plasma to a normal CRT TV. Now, CRTs, a small one does, what, about 60 watts? Takes about 60 watts. So maybe a big one does about 150. So that would put a plasma at about 600 watts. If you look at a dryer, it puts out about 2,000 watts or plus, you know.
Yeah, but you're not using your dryer all the time. Well, I don't know. I won't go there.
In Melbourne,
no,
it might be.
But some people would be. So you've got to look at how much they're using it. And, you know, 600 watts is not that much. It's just the fact that you have it on quite a few hours. And I think they estimated something like 10 hours a day. Who watches their TV 10 hours a day when I heard this report on the TV?
But people just leave their television on in
the
background.
That's the thing.
Yeah, but not everyone does 10 hours
music.
A day.
Yeah, some people are pretty stupid.
I agree.
Paul Meyer is an energy efficient expert for the retailer Energy Australia. Here's his thoughts on these little things.
The old cathode ray tube, what we would know as a standard television, was a relatively low energy user. It might have added about $25 a year to your energy bill. What we are seeing with these bigger LCD and plasma televisions is consumption up to maybe four times that. So it is substantial, and potentially now a television could use more energy than a refrigerator.
Yeah, so
it's
there you go.
Still only $2 a week, though. You can happily have my $2 a week if I can have my plasma.
Maybe they need to have one of those carbon offset things, so anyone who buys a plasma can feel good and go and plant a few trees
in the backyard. I don't care.
You have to blow up a black balloon and let it go or something. I missed the point of that.
They're not talking about V8 cars here, are they?
No. Well, this energy rating system is going to come along. And once again, here's Paul about what the advantages are of an energy rating system.
The advantage of an energy rating label system is it allows customers to make informed decisions at the point of purchase. And we know that our customers are interested in energy efficiency. They're interested in reducing their greenhouse emissions. The other benefit of this type of scheme is it provides an incentive for appliance manufacturers to improve the efficiency of their products.
So during that, someone said that was silly. Who was that?
No, I said customers are stupid. They couldn't make an informed decision if their life depended on it. I wasn't intending to put it to air, but you forced my hand.
Well,
Go down to your local electrical retailer, discount retailer, and watch the people who are buying televisions because that one's the biggest one, not because it's the best one. And tell me that these people are making informed decisions.
Well, I must admit, I've walked into one of the... I had a bit of a go about this on the radio the other day. I walked into one of the big hardware shops. Hardware? White goods shops the other day. And the picture quality on them is... fair to muddling, let me just say.
They don't set them up properly.
Yeah, and if you've ever seen true high definition in this country, you're not going to see it in a local shop on those televisions.
I don't think anyone's arguing about the content that comes on. It's not.
No,
the
I'm talking about the quality.
You reckon the quality?
But even the Bravia things, I was very disappointed. There's a bit of a skill involved in shooting and creating.
You set up
high
a Bravia right, it looks pretty sweet.
Yeah,
but it's got to be.
Well,
set
maybe
up right.
That's just it. Maybe just walk into these shops where they just get them out of the box. The contrast and the colours flatten acca to make it just jump out so you can see it from the back of the shop and all that sort of stuff. Jez Ford is the editor of Sound and Image magazine in Australia. And he's on the... Is government really going to sort of erode consumer choice on this sort of thing?
Well, for consumers, the problem is that the government is choosing to say where that energy line is. It doesn't give the consumer any choice. If I think that a plasma gives a better picture and I want a large plasma and I want to go buy a large plasma, they may not let me do so because they use more power than they've decided to draw the line. And at least for several years, it may be simply impossible for a manufacturer to create a television that gets over that line. So large screen plasmas in particular, it may be impossible to buy them after next October if this goes ahead.
So are we really going to... Yeah, next October, plasmas. Are they really going to go? No, I think... Dance. Sorry, I'll push that button there.
No, they're not, are they? No. And it's a good idea to have a rating system, but you don't want to ban anyone from having a TV because that's just stupid politically. I mean.
Yes, politically it is suicide, which is why it will not happen.
All right, well, there you go. You've heard it here on Tech Talk
and
Radio.
Anyone who's green and doesn't want to have that energy rating, just don't have TV at all. Save all that power.
Well, people aren't going to buy a television based solely on its energy rating, are they? It might be something that you consider in the back of your mind, but...
No, they walk in there with a tape measure. That's how smart some people are. They go, oh, that's a big one.
But for all the other... Like, they'll get it, they're going to look at the picture quality and all the other things we've spoken about, how good it looks.
You're not going to buy one that doesn't look as good just because it's got a better energy rating.
That's right.
Sad but true. There goes the environment again. It's really what it comes down to, isn't it? So, and if everyone gets a plasma... yes, there we go.
I think energy rating stickers too also shame the manufacturers into making it better.
I think that's more the point, isn't it?
Forget drawing the line in the sand about what you can have and ban and that sort of thing. Just put the stickers on them and the manufacturers will make them better and better over time.
That's a very valid comment, Mark. I think you're right. Because when you go in and you're looking at energy thing, you certainly do have a bit of an indication in your mind about what you want to buy. But you also look at, that brand's better than that brand and that brand's better than that. So, yeah, I think, maybe that is going
to... The manufacturer doesn't want to see theirs with the worst ratings, so they'll improve them. Then everyone, competes against each other and they all get better.
Hmm, indeed. Now, what would our 150th show be without a bit of a rant about Telstra? Wireless Next Bug Bites Next G. Now, Mark, you probably know a little bit about this, but Telstra wireless internet customers have run into problems with their Next G network as a result of software snafu disabling or corrupting card modems used to connect to the web. Have you heard about this?
No, I mean, I did sort of read about it and realised that it was partly to do with the download, if the power went off or you did something wrong during the download. But no, when I first read the heading, I thought... of something else that I haven't actually seen in the media anywhere, which was, I'll tell you, just slightly separately to this. Someone did a rerouting the other day and stuck some signaling up the back end of an equipment identity server and...
What?
Yeah, and overloaded it and put off Next G. Not the service, but some of the data behind it and that sort of thing, big time, the other day. So, and that's when I read this heading. I thought that was it. Now, this is all to do with data cards and upgrading the firmware so they can do 7.2 megabits per second downloads.
Yeah. Oh, so, yes, because it's a bit firmware related. Telstra have confirmed a problem caused by firmware upgrade that affected some optional manufactured wireless internet cards, but denied that a large number of customers have been hit by the bug. So I think it's when you flash your card to go to the faster speed, because you have to put a little what they call software on it, which is like a firmware upgrade. Adam's very passionate about firmware upgrades from the couch just of recent times. Yes, just don't turn the power off when you do
it. Make sure you're running on mains power and not battery when you do it.
Just another thing, Next G was announced today. It was on the Telstra website, a media release, although I didn't see it in any other media. They're claiming equivalence of... So Next G is equivalent to CDMA as of today.
Really?
So this is we've crossed the line, have we now?
Yeah, so we've been talking it's about all, how it Ericsson's gets better than... been, the provider for Telstra have been fixing up the spots. So Telstra today announced that the two networks are equivalent. So look out for that. Now, I'm not saying that
here's
there's...
Here's the press release.
Okay,
5:40, they sent it out.
Oh, okay.
That's
why we didn't see it.
You didn't see any coverage. You got to get suspicious about that when they send out a press release at 5:40. The only thing worse than that is sending
Friday.
Out at 5:40 on Friday or Christmas Eve.
Yes.
So I believe, they believe it is that like that, but I'm sure there's customers out there who are still having trouble. Although, having done a lot of work on this, I can tell you that there's faults in the CDMA network that actually give people coverage where it's not meant to be. And then
everywhere it's not needed, yeah. Except over there and over there.
So when NextG comes along and they point the antenna at a town and this guy 5 kilometres out of town's got coverage, he was never meant to be. It's just that it had a fault in the CDMA network that actually gave him fortuitous coverage. Now, how do you match that? How do you match a faulty antenna and give someone coverage? So there's going to be little issues like that still out there. But, you know, where they've said they've got coverage and where they said it is, they believe it.
Who's
going to
be
now
the official arbitrator for CDMA?
The ACMA.
Okay.
So they're going
to. So it's their little men in their little vans going around saying, this is better, this isn't better type
yep,
sort of thing.
That's right.
We're going to take a break on our 150th episode and we're going to come back after this bigger than Ben Hur announcement.
Compelling.
Every once in a while, a revolutionary product comes along that changes everything.
Judicious.
The question is really whether young people, particularly, are addicted to being connected to other people all the time.
Historical.
Today is a very important day in Australia's history. This is the day, the 6th of October in 2006, that life in Australia will be changed forever.
Caring.
I know as a parent, I would often say to my children, you've just spoken to this person for 8 hours at school. How can you sit online and chat to them for another 5 hours?
You heard of road rage?
What about web rage?
They should be wearing a mask and carrying a gun.
Relations between Telstra and the federal government have been extremely strained almost from the moment Sol Trujillo became chief executive.
Optus had, again, had quite a good quarter, but its 3G service is very low profile at the moment.
And the Queen's got an iPod.
Betty's got one.
Yeah.
I wonder what she listens to. She'll probably listen to us.
An unexpectedly high number of voters swamped the system. Well, what did they expect?
Controversial.
Less attention is paid to the equally interesting question, should journalists blog?
Magical.
And I've got some residual powers.
Ambitious.
High-speed broadband, it's available in most of Asia as well as being in the rest of the world. Let's just make sure that we can get it in Australia this year, not next.
Religion.
Talking for the Roman Catholics, I have been on Vatican Radio.
Comedy.
And you put the date on ePray, it goes, and you get a whole service just on it. How does it go? It goes.
Insightful, entertaining, and informative. Tech Talk Radio. More than just technology.
It's a strictly rehearsed and finely polished program.
Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Dr. Ron's apartment here at the top of the, where are we?
Salt Docklands,
Saltwater, next to Sol's place. Well, let me push your button. Sorry, you're on this button over here.
You're having a ball there tonight.
It's a new mixer. Give me a break. Hey, we've very lucky to have a friend of mine rock into the studio here tonight. David Jamuni's here. He's away from a microphone at the moment, but we'll get him here in a sec. He's waving to you, everybody. He brought in a brand new iPhone, which is working on Optus, is it, David? Yes, Optus. So, yes, we're all been out there in the hallway in the last few moments pushing buttons going, oh, look, it's a real iPhone. It works, yeah.
Looks just like a real one.
It does, doesn't
it? It's got the big yes up in the top left corner. That's the network it's on.
Yes. Well, yes.
So it's definitely on Optus.
It is.
So we'll find out after the break, I guess, or later on we'll just see how easy it was to do it. Now, some other interesting news this week. Adobe Acrobat Reader, which is probably one of the world's most favourite Acrobat readers. Well, it's the only Acrobat reader. Portable document file is what it stands for.
It's not the only reader, but it's got to be one of the most popular.
It's
one of those ones that every time you build a new PC, it's one of those things you have to install is Acrobat Reader.
Yes. It'd be good if Microsoft had ship it, but they got into trouble.
Well, it's
for
not
that,
a Microsoft product.
No, but it'd be very handy if it sort of came along that line, wouldn't it?
I don't think Microsoft quite did that.
They just tried
way
to invent their own format instead.
Yeah, they did. What is it, MDI or something?
Something like that.
Anyway, well, we're heading down the XML format now, so who knows what might happen with all those sort of gadgets. But anyway, the reason why we talk about that, a lot of hacks and cracks and problems that have come out this week, especially in, for both platforms, actually, for both Mac and PC. So, and this one in particular, Adobe said there's a flaw, if exploited, would allow malicious native code to execute potentially without the user being aware. So,
okay, so the danger is that someone could trick you by sending you an email or by leading you to a link on a web page. On opening a PDF document that would take over your machine or allow them to install software on your machine without your permission.
Pretty much, yeah.
And then you'd be contributing
the
to the spam
works,
problem
though,
or the zombie problem or,
but
yeah.
You're only vulnerable spam if you're running Windows XP and Internet Explorer 7.
Okay.
So those people get what they deserve.
There's a lot of people in that category.
Yeah, there is.
Including me. The usual rules apply, as well as going to do your Windows updates. Just drop by the Adobe website or click on Help and check for update on your Acrobat reader.
Does the free reader give you an auto help? Because I always have the professional one installed. If you've just got the free reader installed, does that say, hey, I need an update?
Look, I don't have one in front of me, but I'm pretty sure on the Help menu...
David's nodding over there in the corner.
On the Adobe reader, on the Help menu, there's a check for a new update, yeah.
The affected versions include Adobe Acrobat 8.1 and earlier versions, Adobe Standard, Professional, and Elements 8.1, whatever Elements is. Adobe doesn't normally release the details of vulnerabilities until a fully tested patch is available. So there you go. We'll be back with more in a moment.
You're listening.
Dr. Ron?
Here I am listening.
Residual powers.
And I've got some residual powers.
We can't turn off CDMA.
In terms of the volume,
motorists tend to give fingerprints. Now,
we may have digressed.
Talk radio.
Bill Burgess also claimed the country would remain behind.
We used to think 600
don't open things that are as good as you're not expecting, even if they do a thing.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
And welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. Joining the full contingency of the panel this evening is an old friend of mine, David Jarmouni, who's the first person I know to buy, to collect, to steal. I don't know how you got it, David, but there is now an iPhone sitting on the bench here in the studio at Tech Talk Radio. And it works!
It does indeed.
How does it work? What did you do? Do tell.
Okay, well, as any of you who've been following the iPhone story, there's been quite a long saga and a long history that goes with it, but just briefly... Basically, iPhone was released with two software revisions, a few more, but the main ones that we're interested are in 1.02.
And these are software versions, are they? Yeah.
Yeah, and they also changed the firmware when they went to 1.1.1.
I'm sorry.
1.1.1's the release that's just been hacked.
That's correct.
In the last week?
Yes. Yes.
And you've got 1.1.1 in this device?
No, I haven't actually. This is still a 1.0.2.
Okay.
So I haven't done the Intrepid upgrade. I'm just going to wait until everything is completely ironed out.
All the dust settles.
Smart man.
Yes, and free.
Now, you're one of these people which has still got the plastic on the front of it, so that speaks volumes in a lot of respects.
Like my grandmother's couch.
Yes. At least I'm not a 12 o'clock flasher where all my clocks are still flashing 12 o'clock. So I have to leave the plastic on there just for the time being.
David, does it meet your expectations? Is it what you expected to find when you opened it up in the parcel today?
Absolutely. I just about passed out. It was fantastic. I just took it out and I said, I have an iPhone. I'm excited about it and it's wonderful. And it works exactly as I'd hoped it would. It connected to my wireless network without any trouble whatsoever. Connected once I did all the relevant hacks.
How long did it take you to do the hacks? And could anyone do them?
Okay. Now, yes is the answer, but they'd have to be either very patient or very willing. If you're a bit faint-hearted, I wouldn't recommend going down the path of hacking an iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
Even though all the software is readily available, free, and all GUI-driven, so it's all graphical now. There's no more command lines or shell scripts or stuff.
Did you have to do any hardware changes to the device?
The only hardware change I had to do was cut a hole so that I could actually hear in the plastic, so that I could hear the speaker and change the SIM. So that I could actually use it on Optus Network here.
Right.
Sorry,
that was
you had to cut a hole in the plastic. What, you can't
hear
it?
That's because you want to keep the plastic on it. So, of course, I want it to stay as virginal as possible.
Oh, you mean that plastic? The piece
that
of
plastic.
So you want a little hole to remove when you get it.
Yeah, that
that's
one.
Right. So
it's a bit smaller than I actually expected, well, having seen one.
I think the thing about the iPhone is, it's thin, and it's actually not as thin as the iPod Touch. The iPod Touch is actually thinner again.
Now, the difference between the iPod Touch is it doesn't have the phone in it. That's
correct.
Right. It's just...
And also a few other features. So, for example, the iPod Touch at the moment doesn't have email. So when you listen to Steve Jobs talk about these products, he always says the iPod Touch is an iPod. The iPhone is a phone. He makes a very clear distinction about that all the time. And in all of his news press releases and any live interviews he does, he always talks of the iPhone as being a fantastic phone and the iPod Touch as being a fantastic iPod. So he very clearly separates that functionality. So some of the features, for example, like I said, email in particular, is not available on the iPod Touch, for example. But there's a few extra features on here that, you know, make it that tie in well with the features of the phone.
Mm. So why would you want an iPod Touch? Am I the only one that doesn't see the point of an iPod Touch?
That's a good question.
Well, look...
I see the point.
Yeah. The iPod Touch still has Wi-Fi. So in many respects, and there are hacks available for it now.
I can see the point.
Wouldn't the iPod Touch be for this market where the iPhone technically isn't available?
But what's it do that an iPod doesn't do besides have Wi-Fi?
Oh, well, it's got the whole touch interface. Yeah. So it's that touch experience. But you don't do anything with it.
It's a typical Apple product. It's beautiful but useless.
No, it's not.
It's art.
See, you've used that term again.
I had to use that on air. Yeah. It's too good.
No, it's with the iPod Touch, of course, it's basically like an iPhone just without the phone component. So people that don't want, they're happy to keep their phones
separate. They've got a phone. They carry a separate music.
But these people already own an iPod anyway, so why would you switch from an iPod to an iPod Touch?
Well, they might be upgrading. The iPod might have reached its usable life and they need to upgrade, so they're going to get an iPod Touch. They've got a telephone already and they're happy using that as a telephone.
No, sorry, I must have missed something. What's the Touch do that the iPod doesn't?
It's got a touch
interface. It doesn't look like an iPod. It looks like that thing sitting in front of you there.
Yeah.
So they want that interface and they want the ability to have Wi-Fi. They want the ability to make calendar appointments and do all that sort of stuff.
So it's a PDA.
It's a full-on PDA. It's everything except being able to make telephone calls.
Okay, all right. So it's a PDA and an MP3 player, instead of just being an MP3 player.
And it has a much bigger screen.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, I can see the value in that. Thank you.
Yes, and I know where you left the plastic on it now because everyone here has gone, let me have a look. And you touch it and you feel it and you do all that. I do like the pinch. The pinch is really good. And we were looking at the photo album before. You select your images and David's got a couple of snaps in there and you can actually flick it across. And just very, very user-friendly and quite intuitive, really, isn't it? That's the key to it.
As Adam said,
looks stunning though, doesn't it?
if you go to the Apple website, they have a video that sort of does a tutorial about the iPhone, and it goes for about 20 minutes. And it's quite fun. I think it was done by David Pogue or someone, one of the Apple complete zealots out there. And it's a lot of fun. He actually sits down and talks you through every function of the iPhone, and it's quite good.
Have you put a video on there yet? I know you've only had it for 5 hours, but have you managed to get it to talk from one machine to another and whack some video onto it, see how it goes?
I haven't actually compressed any video just yet. What I've done is I've actually streamed a lot of video either via the web or on the YouTube app, so there's a built-in YouTube application.
What's the screen resolution?
That's a very good question. I can't remember off the top of my head. It's the screen is actually a lot larger than any of the previous iPod models. So it's sort of almost double the size in terms of, I guess height rather than width.
And it's widescreen as well because you turn it on a side. It's shaped like a movie screen.
Correct.
Whereas I think most of the Apple iPods with screens on them are still a sort of a squarish shape screen like an old television. So it would be better for watching the movies on and digital television, that recordings from digital television, because the screen is the same size as the picture will be.
That's correct.
What's the battery like? I know you've only, once again, had it 5 hours, but I think there's been a bit of publicity about it in the media or something like that. It's about 4 hours or something if you're watching movies or things on it?
I think the slated time is about 5 hours of continuous use if you were, say, using videos and all sorts of stuff. In standby mode, you'd probably get a lot more time, of course.
So if you're on a long car trip or you're in an aeroplane or something like that, you've got at least, you can watch a movie on it without the battery going flat.
That's right.
My only criticism of the device is that you can't actually change a battery.
No, that's right.
When I travel, when my phone goes flat, you don't often have the place to charge it. So you want to do a swap.
Yes.
And you can't swap on that. That's its only downfall, I think, in a lot of respects. And it's not on 3G.
What's the storage capacity, David?
This is an 8 gig model that at this moment in time, the iPhones themselves only go to 8 gigs, whereas the iPod Touch that we were talking about before, they can go up to 16 gig. These devices are still using sort of flash RAM, so NAND or whatever it is that they're using.
So that's not a little hard disk inside it's all flash.
No, so these are the first generation of iPods and iPhones that come out without a hard drive built in. Right. So,
and you didn't have any problems with iTunes, with it syncing up and working?
No, it just plugged it in, selected a playlist, said please sync, and off it went. Just
that's
copied
great.
All the files across and the album artwork and all sorts of things.
Did you need to upgrade iTunes or do anything like that?
No, it's the version of iTunes that I've got, which
was
7.42.
Yeah, at the time.
7.43.
Yeah.
What day is it today?
Mm.
Yep. Every time something goes wrong, you get a vulnerability of some sort, or someone works out a free way of doing something that Apple charge a lot of money for, you'll notice the next day that iTunes has been updated and will stop that from working until 10 minutes later someone's realized, all you have to do is just change the file name and then it works again. And that's what they've done, so...
David, thank you very much for bringing that in. Hopefully you won't get mugged in the door on the way out from the studio.
Does anyone actually know where this place is?
No, it's good. It's the reason you're here tonight, because we're in stealth.
That's right.
It's been absolutely fantastic to have a look at one of these things, all the hype that's... and I think they're a really sexy little device. A lot of people are going to buy it when they become available here early next year, I think.
We hope.
Fingers crossed. All right, you're listening to Tech Talk Radio. Back with more in a moment.
Listening to Tech Talk Radio.
In this house, we obey the laws of thermodynamics.
Cool. Interesting.
Tech Talk Radio's gadget of the week.
Son of my own.
This week's gadget of the week is a rechargeable AA battery. Nothing special about that. Rechargeable from USB. Nothing particularly special about that, except that the USB dock is on the top of the battery. So this is something that you can charge. You can have a AA battery with a USB connector on the top of it, and you put a little cap over it, and it becomes a standard-sized AA battery.
Okay.
So,
sorry, Dr. Roth.
It's a standard-sized AA battery.
Yep.
And the way you recharge it is you actually pull the cap off one end, and there's a USB port inside the battery.
Exactly, with an LED that lets you charge it. And it doesn't have to be just charged off USB. It can also fit in a normal charger. It's 1,450 milliampere hours, and a pack of two costs $17.95.
Wow.
Yeah. From JCar, one of my favourites, in their October.
JCar have always got good gadgets around, haven't they?
They do. My little girl loves it there because there's pink mouses and pink things and all that sort of stuff. Good for the girls anyway.
That'd be good in here if we need a battery recharged urgently. Just whack it into a USB port on the side of a laptop.
The camera's happening at the moment, actually. Yes, we've worked it out anyway.
Testament to that.
Yeah. All right. That was the gadget of the week.
Here it is, everybody. The world's greatest website.
Tech Talk Radio website of the week.
www.bizwaremagic.com. It's BIZWARE magic.com / quick internet history. 21 facts about the internet you should know. We all probably use the internet every day. I know I do.
Absolutely.
Have you ever wondered how all this foolishness got started in the first place and why?
Well, so this is a historical piece.
It is. How big is it really? How many present users are there? What's the average time that a person spends on a website? 21 facts, which I thought were quite good.
That's cute.
Yeah. Who coined the phrase World Wide Web? How did the internet start and why?
Tim
Berners-Lee.
Berners-Lee, yes. We just had him on before, yes.
What is ARPANET? And other questions. Oh. So if you're interested, a bit of a walk down memory lane, a bit of an informative fact-finding site. We'll put the link up there for you.
So where is it? What is it again?
It's bizwaremagic.com. / quick_internet_history.htm.
There is a fine line between genius and madness. Showtime.
Missed it by that much.
I know nothing. Nothing.
Houston, we have a problem.
And that means we do have a problem.
Vietnamese police directed her straight onto a railway line where she was almost killed by a speeding train. The BBC has been criticised for filming its Easter Songs of Praise special in November.
A Sicilian man, 24, under house arrest, called police to take him to jail.
Light-fingered monkeys.
Now that's a bit sad, isn't it? Like,
a Chinese businessman has bought a MiG-21F fighter plane.
You look out of the bowl, isn't it?
I would have thought so. You flush it like everybody else.
Music retailer Virgin has been fined $1 million for illegally downloading a Madonna song.
The world's first internet radio station for dogs.
I remember these.
Has been launched in Thailand.
They've managed to actually hack into Intelsat.
No, it wasn't the polyphonic ringlet. The ring... No, now... Now, you're being silly.
Oh, dear.
Some guy's had a bet with his girlfriend.
Guess what? They put the camera on the wrong side.
A talking urinal.
This week's odd spot, I nearly fell over backwards this week.
Feeding information via mobile phone headsets hidden under long wigs.
What?
A radio DJ by the name
Not
of...
Not me. Sorry about that.
Oh, it's witching hour.
Chocolate-eating bugs might provide the fuel of the future. Two men have been charged with illegal computer access after they hacked into the LA's city traffic centre. The electric Cinderella shoe.
Can we email the Pope? The answer is you can.
Because the company's filter system found her name, gay, inappropriate for business-like communication. the Daily Telegraph, has suggested we should ditch the idea and just make it GMT everywhere around the world.
Three hospital workers, including a mortuary assistant.
It's a robot which helps you dance.
An Iranian computer game designer said on Sunday, a new game. We've heard of
150 shows, huh?
So it's a little bit of what we've done over the last 150 episodes. A lot of silliness there.
It's very, very silly. Now, don't do it again, Dr. Ron.
Okay, maybe in another 150.
What I want to know is where you find them from. That's the amazing part about it.
It took me, a long time to go through all of those and pick them out.
Yes. Thanks, Laney.
Yes, a lot of people contribute. A lot of people help us to put each show together every week.
They do indeed. Mm. And yes, we're all here because we're passionate about it. Thank you once again. And we've gone a bit over tonight, if you haven't noticed already. You have been listening to everybody this evening, even a very special guest drop in tonight and show us his iPhones. And thank you, David, for that. But we'll be back next week, same time, same station, same place. And we'll do it all again. And hopefully some of the technology will actually work for us this evening. We'll get a battery in the webcam. Yeah, the webcam.
Sorry about that.
We'll take it out of the USB port and we'll plug it in.
Yes. So, all right, guys. Once again, 150 upward and onwards. And we'll see what happens in the next 150, heaven forbid. All right. You have been listening to Tech Talk Radio. It's been fantastic. First 150. Thank you to all of our listeners. Feel free to keep sending us emails. We've been inundated with them tonight. It's been absolutely good. Lots of people listening on the stream and all that. Hopefully your Shoutcast one's held in there too, Dr. Ron, a little bit. The demand on that's been pretty huge. So thanks to everyone involved. You've been listening to Tech Talk Radio. And we'll be back next week. Bye for now.
Tech Talk Radio is brought to you each and every week by a band of dedicated professionals from within the broadcasting, IT and telecommunications industries. The team consists of executive producer and host Andrew McComb, producer Dr. Ron, panellists Graham Callaghan and Mark Diggins, expert opinion from Adam Turner, and our US correspondent is Lydia Davis. Production facilities courtesy of Evolving Communications, and podcast production by Graham Callaghan. Tech Talk Radio is broadcast, recorded and streamed live to the world each and every Monday night from 8 p.m. The crew wish to thank all the stations that take the show, including 3WBC, 3XX, Cairns FM, Highlands FM and Queer FM in Western Australia. Tech Talk Radio is available for syndication on your local station. For sponsorship and advertising, call 03 9018 9043 or visit the website techtalkradio.com.au for more information. This has been a production of Tech Talk Radio Vic and is subject to copyright and applicable laws and may not be rebroadcast without approval.
Entertaining, informative and independent. You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.